Braindead Radio presents...
Supposedly, he was born in a mental institution, and he sleeps only 1 hour a night.
Ed Hawken.
You're crazy.
Let's rock.
I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit!
The Ed Hawken Show.
This is The Ed Hawken Show. I'm Ed Hawken.
And this is Randall. Hello, Radioland.
Yes. How you doing? I know it's been a while. It's been a few weeks, but we are back, still alive. My hair is fluffier than ever, I must admit.
It is. It's its own sentient being now.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I would not go that far. But how you been, man?
Doing great. Doing great. Just keeping busy, working on a couple shows and stuff.
You want to mention any of those fine shows?
If you can, and nothing in particular, but you can always check out Hate by Numbers, done by Gladstone, comedian and Comedy Central writer. He does a couple-minute show on Asylum.com, again, called Hate by Numbers, and I do occasional Photoshops and stuff for the show to enhance the glorious quality.
Oh, no, those are some very fine Photoshops, too. I must admit. I mean, really,
why, thank you,
really,
sir.
Good stuff.
Thank
really,
you.
Really, really good. Yeah, as for me, I've been working, making my color commentary over at the forums of Braindead Radio at forums.braindeadradio.com. But I must say, going on right now, it's June, the summer is on, the heat is on, as they said in Beverly Hills Cop. But,
it is, indeed it is.
But I personally, I think I've got the fever, Randall, and I don't mean the Bieber fever. I've got what is known as World Cup fever. That's going on right now.
Oh, that's
huge,
right.
Global event.
How's that going?
It's going pretty good. The games are in South Africa right now, which means that there's a huge time delay when it comes to the when the games are played. Like, South Africa is like so many hours away, so that means the games are at 4:30 in the morning, 7:30 in the morning, and then 11:30. So I can always catch a game at lunch, and it's very entertaining, especially for a guy who's not into sports. It's really been interesting, I must say.
I have no insight on this. I don't watch any sports at all. I'm an incredibly huge nerd,
right?
So I don't know much about this. But you know, so you said it's going good, I guess.
It's going pretty good. I myself am not a sports guy. I've never been a sports guy. I never played a sport in school. Family's definitely not into sports. And for whatever reason, with the World Cup, to me, it is very accessible. I mean, the game is very, very simple. And, you know, I mean, I remember when the World Cup was in 1994 and it was in the U.S. and everyone was going crazy for it, even though it was not. And it still really isn't a major sport. There was a guy on ESPN, he was like a radio commentator, was talking about that the major players in the world, say like the United States, China, India, they're not well-known soccer players. So you have a lot of other countries in the world. So it's kind of like, to me, like the Summer Olympics. You see a lot of different countries out there testing their athletic might. Not gonna deny, some of them are kind of hot, but either way.
That's not why you watch it, though. You watch it for legitimate sport-related reasons.
Sure, I
right?
do. But anyway, so you have that. You know, the game's very easy to follow. I know a lot of people say it's boring. Well, I don't know how they can watch baseball, frankly. At least with soccer, it's 45 minutes each side. You know, a lot of them going around. It's a very low-scoring game. And it's, like I said, it's a very simple game. But to me, it's very easy to follow. I could be doing something, and, you know, I could be occasionally watching, you know, a match, and, you know, have no problem at all. Also, I mean, hell, I saw the Mexico versus France match, and that was great. Obviously, we're all rooting for Mexico for obvious reasons.
Did Mexico just obliterate France?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also, our, you know, as being as an American, your anti-French feelings immediately kick in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were all rooting for Mexico when they scored. It was great. It really was.
And eat that, France.
Yeah, eat. Oh, hell, I even said that on the boards. I said, eat it, France.
Put and that then, in a croissant and eat it.
Yes, I said, eat it, France. And then when Mexico scored again, I said, eat it again, France. There's even a promotion in Ireland right now where I think it was a pizza chain over there had said, every time someone scores a goal against France, the nation of Ireland gets free food. So
nice.
That's certainly amazing. And
yeah.
It's been very interesting right now, actually, with what's going on this World Cup, because many of the well-known major soccer powers, which are mainly the countries of Europe, say like England and France and Spain, they're not doing very well. A lot of upstart teams from countries you never thought would have been known for sports, well, known for soccer anyway, are really kicking ass. It's quite surprising.
Like which?
Well, for example, just right now, just today, New Zealand just tied against Italy, which was a complete shock.
New Zealand? Wow.
Yeah, and Denmark just, I think... No, that was against... I can't remember. I just remember Spain aided on some team where they tied. And then France has just been getting decimated.
Yeah.
It's been certainly something worthwhile. And even the United States has been doing pretty good. I know England, we tied against them. And I think either England tied or lost. I really can't remember. It's been really low scoring. The other thing going on right now in the World Cup has been they have this thing called a vuvuzela, which is basically a plastic horn. It's like a really big kazoo. I like to liken it to the American air, to us in the States with the air horn, because it's that effing obnoxious.
Oh, wow.
So when you listen to a game on the radio, and they've actually just developed a filter for this to remove the sound, it sounds like bees.
Sounds like bees?
Yeah.
So, like, if you're not paying attention and you're just hanging out in your place, you think, like, suddenly bees are in your head?
Well, yeah. And then the thing is that TVs will pick it up, but if you were actually in the stadiums, you wouldn't hear it.
So it's a loud horn that sounds like bees.
Yes. It's like a...
How long does it go on for?
Goes on the entire game.
The whole game?
Yeah. Everyone in the stands is doing it.
Wait, is... Oh, so it's just on and off, like whenever people want to.
Yeah, no, it's
do
like
it.
It's like that. That's basically
so
what it sounds like.
It's just a humming noise coming from the background.
It's like a buzzing noise.
What the hell, man?
And it somehow drives people insane. Like I said, it's like the air horn, you know?
Yeah.
It's just as obnoxious, and it's, you know, just how it is.
That might be worse. That might be worse.
Now, seeing I was in South Africa, there was no sight of Wicca, so it was a little bit disappointed. It was very disappointing to not start the games, but, you know, them's the breaks.
Well, South Africa. I don't know what's there to say about what were you gonna say? I'm just gonna rag on.
All
South
I got
Africa.
On South Africa is District 9. That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
I got nothing else.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Oh, and diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, it's funny. I heard recently about something that was introduced in South Africa because, as everyone knows, it's a lawless, crime-filled wasteland.
Yes.
And there's something called the Rape Axe it's the Rape Axe female condom.
Oh, really?
And it's like this nightmare device. Almost as if created by Jigsaw from the Saw movies or something. It's a female condom, but it has teeth, like razory teeth on it. So
are these metal teeth?
No. They're all. I guess they're just plastic. I mean, I don't know exactly. I haven't seen one in person.
Knowing what we know from our nation,
I haven't tried one out. I don't plan.
Well,
to.
Well, yeah, no. A female condom, you actually need to.
Well,
be a woman to be.
I'm not
going to
make.
One.
I'm not going to make. Anyway.
Well, no. It's. I don't know if you've ever seen what a female condom looks like, but it's like a. Dan Savage said it best. It looks like a trash can liner. That's all.
Oh man. So. Yeah, it's like that. It's got weird teeth on it. And I thought what it did was because in you know if there were some basically what you would do is wear it as an insurance so that there were a situation where I don't know how to put this delicately, you know.
Yeah. Possible rape situation.
Yeah. So if rape were to occur, it would be a way to kind of sabotage that.
Yeah.
And it clamps on to the dude's junk.
Oh my god.
And it. Doesn't actually, apparently, according to this thing that I read, it doesn't, I think this is on CNN.com, by the way, it's like, it doesn't break skin, but it's cripplingly painful. They say you can't walk if you experience this thing. So, it doesn't break skin, I don't see how, but it's got these little razory teeth on it, and then apparently, if you try to remove it, it gets tighter.
So it's like the Chinese finger trap.
It is the Chinese. It's the South African penis trap, and it sounds like a nightmare. And it just reminded me of this old saying that is it works for me. It works for me. It should work for everyone. The old saying goes: don't rape stuff. That's it. That's just the best advice.
What about the adage that the heat of your meat is equal to the angle of the dangle?
I don't know. I haven't tested that.
I
don't even know. I don't understand. I don't know.
Well,
I got nothing. I'm actually kind of disconcerted thinking about this female.
Well, it should really discourage you from committing rape. That's what I say.
Yeah.
You think?
Well, I just think, you know, rape is a totally unnecessary thing, and...
We don't have Vikings anymore. There's no reason to commit rape.
That's right. I mean, you know, it's not cool.
No,
and
it's serious business.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
the Ed Hocken Show official stamp. The position
stance on rape.
The position on rape is that it's not cool. Just go ahead and knock that off.
We've put that into our party platform for upcoming election.
It's on all our buttons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. But you know, speaking of the miracles of technology. I wanted to mention that we've had E3 going on this week. You know, it's another big event going on downtown. But then the other thing is that Apple's been having some, you know, came out with the iPod 4 and all that stuff. Bit of an embarrassment, I find, because, you know, if you're an iPod user, well, iPhone user, really, you know, everyone knows about how AT&T kind of really fucks it up.
I don't know. I've had AT&T for a while. I've never had any big problems with them. I've never
You're not the only one, actually, in this area that said that.
I don't have any big problems. I mean, it depends on what you're trying to do. I mean, I know some people who've done business and then had some issues here and there, but I don't know what the nature of the problem was, you know, really. So it's hard to tell who's doing what or who's screwing up.
Well, I can see, you know, Apple has had such amazing things with technology, but I think a lot of people forget, you know, people always think that Apple is really cool and, you know, really free and all that. But a lot of people, I think, tend to forget that Apple is very, very stringent on their technology. Best example of this is, you notice how, like, with PCs, you can buy, you know, a Dell, you can get an HP, you can get any number, or you can build your own, you know, desktop. No problem at all. Because, you know, Windows will work on anything. Or if you happen to go open source. But that concludes everything I know about operating systems. But Apple, you can only run Apple software on an Apple computer. I read about an article about this a long time ago, about these guys down in Florida who were making desktop computers that were not licensed to Apple computers, but ran Apple software. And they had a big problem.
They were killed promptly by...
They may have been killed by Steve
Jobs. Ordered their
death. I mean, you saw what happened when someone found that lost phone in the bar and the way they went after him. They're very, very litigious. It's kind of crazy that, you know, if you haven't seen Pirates of Silicon Valley, Steve Jobs doesn't take shit from nobody.
So it's
kind of why I think they fired him originally from the company. But, you know, people tend to forget that. And then the other thing that reminded me of this is that, you know, there are the iPhone apps. Well, a lot of people have been complaining that a lot of, you know, Apple's have very stringent requirements with their apps. And, in fact, recently there's a literary holiday called Bloomsday, which is related to the book Ulysses by James Joyce. Well, someone made a graphic novel of Ulysses, and they wanted to put it as for the iPad. Apple wouldn't let them do it because it had nudity, even though that's the story. So, and eventually they relented after everyone bitched. So it's kind of funny that people tend to forget that they're very, very militant about what they want to do.
That's true. I mean, that's always existed with them. One thing that really sucks about their iPhone apps, I have an iPhone. I'm an iPhone user, and
right.
I like it a lot. I'm not going to go around, you know, telling everyone to get one, but I've had a great experience with mine, and it's helped me a lot in business and all kinds of stuff, and personally, and keeping up with people, and, you know, finding directions, like a GPS on and everything. It's very cool, and I haven't had a problem with it, but I did have a problem with an iPhone app when I got Frogger, because you got to play Frogger by touching the screen, and so you're obscuring the little frog with your finger, and you're trying to get it across the screen to go to the lily pads and all that stuff. And it's been pretty stressful because you try to play these, you know, when you're just like out somewhere and bored or whatever.
Yeah, you're wasting time.
And I'm kind of killing time, but I'm not having so much fun as I am having, like, you know, I'm sweating and having a brain aneurysm trying to make sure I coordinate everything right.
This goddamn frog's gonna make it.
Yeah, and like, but you just put your finger over the whole screen and you can't see the frog. And I just, if anyone's listening who knows anything about programming, please make a Frogger that I can use something else. The alternative is that you can shake the screen around violently and try to get the frog to go in different directions, but at that point, again, I can't see what's happening.
Yeah.
And I'm just throwing my frog around violently, and he's going to get hit by a truck or something.
I the other thing is just going back to the iPhone.
This is important shit, man.
Yeah,
are you getting
really
this,
is.
Everyone?
It
are
really
you listening?
Is.
This bothers me.
It makes you angry, goddammit. But going back to the iPhone, I just know when they released the iPhone, they're taking pre-orders for the new iPhone, AT&T, once again, fucking up as usual. They couldn't handle the order capacity, so they had to, like, literally handwrite the orders. It's just
because it's so goddamn popular.
I know, and then the whole thing with the fact they've had data problems, and just really, I mean, they have a contract, which is why they haven't been able to get out of it. But really,
let me ask you a quick question. Mm-hmm. Why do you hate Apple so much?
I don't hate Apple so much. It's just like I wish they didn't have AT&T. That's the thing.
What's AT&T. What's your thing with AT&T? Did you have, like, a bad experience?
No, it's just, as I said, their track record is, from what I've heard of everyone saying, it's just that, you know, they're complaining about they can't use their phones and just all sorts of other problems. So,
I don't know.
I think it's like, I would love to just go to another place. It's like, why would I go to, I mean, hell.
I've had AT&T for like 2 years. I've
never
had
a problem.
Never.
Okay.
Never.
Well, then there you go.
I'm challenging. I'm calling shenanigans on this. Not on these people.
Right.
They complain about AT&T.
You got anything further to say about
no,
that?
No, that's it. I'm just calling shenanigans.
I thought you were going to add something further. But you know what? Yeah. You're right, and I've got to replace my phone because why in God's name am I still with T-Mobile? So
they still it's singular. Or
yeah. I got AirTouch
even,
going on.
Is it even existent?
Hey,
well, you got to get rid of your pager first, and
yes.
Then you got to move on to the iPhone.
As one commenter on the AV Club commenters said, "I was born a Star Trek man, and I'll die a Star Trek man." So
I don't understand what that means.
It's a clamshell phone.
Oh,
Star Trek phones.
Oh, I thought you said Star Trek.
No,
I'm a Star Trek man.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell does that have to do with anything?
I thought you were
guy just exclaimed his love for Star Trek, or his purism for Star Trek.
Oh, for God's sake.
I don't know.
But yes, going back to E3, I know you wanted to mention some stuff about going on this week. I know it's obviously a lot of video game news. Nintendo's, once again, has a Mario game and all their other stuff coming out, which is related.
Mario's big bucks, man.
He's true.
I hate to plug too much shit on here, but on Crack.com, we just did a thing. I helped do a chart for all these rejected Mario games. It's mm-hmm. it's a topic page called it's just a topic page for Mario. You can go to crack.com and find it, search on the front page of the site, you can search for Mario and the topic page to come up, and it's a huge image of the headers, all these different rejected Mario games. So it's like, what if Mario was in Final Fantasy, what if he was in Batman Arkham Asylum, stuff like that.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think you might get some enjoyment out of seeing some of the graphics that were worked up for that.
Oh, nice.
It was a lot of fun to work on. But anyway, yeah, he's their flagship character, so that's not going anywhere.
I just feel like, I mean, Nintendo always just seems to, I mean, you know, are they good games? Yeah, it's just like, you'd think they'd just try to come up with a new character or something, you know? But that's just this man.
No, that's bullshit. You gotta just keep making
running
Mario.
That well?
Yeah.
Because it worked so well for George Lucas and all that?
Exactly.
Oh, yes. But I know you would...
No, at E3, the one thing that stood out to me was that nowadays everyone's pushing the home theater system 3D type technology, mm-hmm. where you buy your own glasses and you have the 3D on your screens, your
TV. Yeah, they're doing that
at your place, at your own place and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking eventually everyone's going to go blind from these things because I don't know if you've worn 3D glasses for an extended period of time. I think if anyone saw Avatar, as much as I enjoyed the movie, mm-hmm. After 2.5 hours, I started getting a little, kind of getting a headache.
I was surprised. I actually wore those 3D glasses when I saw Avatar. I didn't have a problem, and I actually was wearing I was wearing contact lenses,
yeah.
And I didn't have a problem. It just like, but you know, I wasn't all that thrilled about Avatar. But speaking of that, you had told me about this off air. Because it was so successful, they had to do it. Avatar, the 3D porn.
Yeah. So that segues you directly into the Avatar 3D porn. And really, that's the only reason we brought up the 3D technology. Mm-hmm. Let's just be honest here. Who gives a shit about it?
I agree.
Forget E3. We're going right to the Avatar porn. Yep. Yeah, they're doing an adult film version of Avatar. It's going to be in 3D. And I don't know much more than that, but I saw the creepy, furry-looking people in this makeup. And it's a whole new level of
well, I think the question is, will it be better than the Batman XXX porn parody? And the thing is that they always say Batman, whatever the project.
That was the 1966.
It was the 1966 Batman.
The production values on that are amazing, by the way. You can see the trailer on YouTube.
I saw that trailer.
It's actually, like, probably higher quality than the original
trailer. They actually said that the guy who played Adam West Batman stayed in character while he was getting it on.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if it'd be worth it.
I have a man who loves his taffy. That was supposed to be Adam West. That was horrible.
Oh, man.
Let's cut that out.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We can't do that. We're rolling now. But, it's a shame that they can't really think of a better porn title for it, in my view. You know,
what, Avatar?
Yeah. You'd think. I mean, you know, back then, they put in a little bit of effort, you know, maybe 2 hours worth of effort after doing the 5 minutes of editing to, you know, come up with a good porn title for the porn parody. Now they just say Seinfeld XXX, a porn parody.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's classy now.
Well, I guess.
Do you have any suggestions for Avatar?
For Avatar?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't...
Slamatar?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's hard. It can't fit, balls in there or something like that.
Balls-atar? It just doesn't make sense.
Because there's no... Is there any sexual organ with the AV name in it? I got nothing on that.
Yeah, Vagitar? Yeah. I don't know. That sounds like a
if you happen to have
female ointment.
Please, please sign up for the forums at brainbeardradio.com.
Let us know. Let's hear your Avatar porn titles, because Avatar 3D porn just doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I know it was funny that when that movie came out, I remember reading a lot of Savage Love, and they were talking about all the people that are suddenly, because there's that whole furry thing, and then getting off on the idea of fictional characters, and It was ridiculous because it's like, how the hell? It's basically like, because there are people that will go after that sort of thing.
Well, there's a difference between loving or just being like attracted to fictional characters. Like, for instance, like a woman can dress up like Lara Croft.
Yeah.
And it's attractive because she's not dressed up as like a monster, like, or some kind of furry animal anthropomorphic freaky creature. And there's a huge difference between that and then wanting to bone, you know, the tiger from Calvin or Hobbes.
Right, a lot of Thundercats action going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, Chitara is on the cusp of the... It's on the brink, because I saw when we were in Halloween last year, we went out to the festival thing.
Yeah.
There was a group of Thundercats.
That's right.
And they had Chitara, and man, she was still hot. But she wasn't, like, in, like, a furry suit or anything. She just had body paint on.
So, yeah, they have, you know, the Avatar porn and all that, but it's funny you mention that, because I think you had something else about people who look for, you know, fictional creatures or some nonsense, because you had told me about
this. Wait,
what? Well, this thing called cryptozoology.
Oh, yeah, speaking of, the fictional creatures, well, yeah, that was kind of it's not really related to, like, the furry thing or anything.
But it's still going after something that's not real.
Oh, yeah, speaking of hunting things that aren't real. No, cryptozoology, there's this trend, it started a couple years ago with, Monty the Montauk Monster.
Never heard of it. Which was like the New Jersey Devil?
Well, sort of. It was this out in on the East Coast. There was in Montauk. There was this monster corpse that had washed up on a beach, and there were all these stories about people seeing this monster kind of like run up on the beach and then die, and all this weird stuff. And we saw these photos, and you see it kind of laying on. It had died at this point, and you're looking at this monster, this alleged monster corpse, and it did look very interesting and compelling for like, you know, 10 minutes. You're like, hey, this. What? Not so much it's a monster, but what the hell is that? Mm-hmm. And then it turns out it's a goddamn dead raccoon, you know, and it's just its body was like deteriorating in the water, so it just washes up, and then, you know, I guess little kids see it or people see it and they think it's a monster and stuff. So on these cryptozoology websites, which is the cryptozoology is the study and hunting or tracking of these sort of like mythological creatures like Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster and stuff. These places go nuts for this stuff.
And is this totally taken totally real, or is it a joke?
It seems to be done seriously. I mean, there's actually, if you go to cryptozoology.com, there's a it's now like a link sort of resource where they'll link to other sites, legitimate news sources that have, you know, stories about monster encounters and stuff. And really, it's just about, like, well, half the time it's dead animals.
Yeah.
Just stupid shit, right? Like, just some big dead thing out in somewhere, and you don't even know you can't tell what it is. Like, a dead whale washes up, and it looks weird, so everyone's like, oh, it's a monster! And so, there's all this shit, and so that was just a dead raccoon with its face eaten off by God knows what. And then, recently there was another one, and this is, like, 2 years ago. The first Monty was 2 years ago. Now, like, 2 years later, there's this other one, and it's like, oh, here's another monster we saw, and it's clearly another dead raccoon. It's just another dead animal that people are calling monster again.
Yeah.
And I don't know why the raccoons are always coming up as monsters, but there's actually another story after that recently where they caught a live monster animal that no one ever seen before, and it was just a hairless raccoon. And it's just, it's ridiculous. It's like, if you're gonna go after fictional monsters, if you're looking for monsters, if it's under 3 feet and it doesn't have any hair, it's probably not really a monster. I mean, I don't think you could qualify it as any kind of scary monster anyway. But also, there are real scary animals out there in the jungle. Like, you go, like, Monty, if Monty had been a real thing, it was just a small little animal anyway, it really wouldn't have done anything. It just would have a weird face. But, like, I just think, like, if these cryptozoologist guys, like, you can go to the zoo and see some weird animals, or you can go to Africa and go try to survive out there and deal with apes and shit. But, like, you know, I don't know what's going on. What's going on?
Well, did they have any mention of the flying spaghetti monster at all?
No. Oh, that's more of a religious figure, though.
They should still try to shoehorn it in.
Would be great, but it's totally serious, though. It's just this.
So that sounds like, then, do they have, like, factions? So it's like in Twister when the ragtag bunch shows up, and then they have the evil supposed cryptozoologist because they have corporate funding.
No, this is I wish it was that entertaining, but it's really just a site that legitimately runs these alleged monster stories. And it's just funny to see, because, like, half the time they're just depressing, because it's like you're just looking at pictures of dead animals.
Yeah.
And then,
to look at dead animals, I'll go to rotten.com.
Yeah, exactly. And then in the worst case, you have, like, these little poor little bastard raccoon who was hairless, and they just trap it in a cage, and they're, like, poking at it and shit. And it's like, it's a little tiny animal. It's not a monster. Like, it's not some kind of mythological creature.
It'd be a monster.
Well, yeah, I guess. But, yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous. They're not... Just go to the zoo or go to the jungle or something. You can even go to the mountains. There's these rams with these crazy devil horns and stuff that are scarier than these things.
Well, we still have mountain lions.
Yeah, exactly. Go tussle with a mountain lion or something.
Before the brush fire.
I'm the only person in the world singling out the cryptozoologists and being very upset with them.
Well, it's fine. We all have to have our declared enemies. You
know? I'm pissed at these guys.
Yeah, it's...
If you're going to waste my time, show me something that looks like a real monster, not a Bigfoot costume and an ice chest outside here.
Maybe Supernatural should have touched on this or something like that, because I don't know.
That's more realistic than the cryptozoology.
Wow.
Website.
Yeah. That is truly something.
That Wendigo looked way more realistic than that Bigfoot suit.
It's
ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's
but speaking of stuff going on, I know really, you know, of movies, you know, that's usually our main thing over here at the Ed Hawkins Show.
Talking way too much about movies.
Yeah, I know, but what else we got going on? That's all I can say.
Our lives are empty.
Yeah, we're meaningless. But so we have that going on. But I must say, this has been a horrible summer for film. It's not been good at all.
I guess. I haven't seen any of the new stuff that just came out, like A-Team or...
I haven't either.
What is it? I don't think I'm going to bother with Karate Kid. I think Marissa might want to see it, but I'm not going to go see it.
They say it's surprisingly good, but it's not for me. I just know the only two things right now I had meant to see, because I know a long time ago I said, I'm going to go see The Losers, and like The Losers is garbage, and that never happened. And then, so it's like basically the A-Team... And then Toy Story 3. Now, I could have seen Toy Story 3 yesterday, but I instead decided, for the sake of this show, because for life experience, I attended a foam party.
Yes.
Now, what is a foam party, you ask? Because I know you don't know what it is.
Actually, I am vaguely aware of foam parties. Okay. They have these all over the place. They have them out in Hollywood a lot, too.
No kidding.
Yeah, but I know what it is, but go ahead and anyway.
A foam party is basically a party that... They section off of, you know, part of a club or a dance floor. They lay down some plastic wrap, and then they basically, you know, just put foam everywhere.
Bubbles. Like bubbles, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but really, like massive amounts.
Massive amounts of bubbles, and you get wet. But so I tried that out. I wore a swimsuit just in case. Now, when I meant I wore a swimsuit, I actually got the 1890s gown out.
Yes.
And I proceed to, you know, wear a derby while doing this. But
right. I thought you'd wear like a three-piece suit in there.
A three-piece sweatsuit, actually.
Into the foam.
Yes. I was smoking a cigarette while
I was going. Exactly. You get a cigar and shit.
Well, it was a pipe, really. But so I went in there. I gave it a shot. This was over at a place in Silver Lake, of all places. Now, the very little cool tidbit for one of our members of the board, Vin, near this bar, actually, was a cheese shop. It was closed, but they were open for business. So if Vin ever comes to Los Angeles, I can show him where there's a good cheese shop.
Make it out to that cheese shop.
Yes, that's a real place. Out in Silver Lake.
Moving on back to the
back to the foam party. So it's a huge amount of soap bubbles. I go out there. I got my Tevez on because I need sand. I'm not gonna wear my shoes.
You got the sandals. Those are the sandals with all the straps on them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, not Birkenstocks, but you know, they got the Tevez out. And I put on my shorts and I got a swimsuit on.
You just go barefoot, man.
No way am I going onto a dance floor barefoot.
Why not?
Especially not there. And I'll explain in just
a
minute.
Okay, all right, cool.
So after a while, finally the foam starts, and it's all crazy and stuff. But after all, I was getting real tired of it because one thing, it was jammed, packed with people. Yeah. So my greatest concern was, one, I didn't want to fall. Two, I was really afraid someone was going to stomp on my foot and break it.
Yeah.
And the reason that's why I wore sandals, because I was really afraid of slipping. And the other thing, and then getting trampled on. And then the other thing is, like, if there are people out there that do not like crowds, or germs, do not go to a foam party.
Yeah.
It would be a terrible idea.
Isn't it kind of like a rave, but just with foam everywhere? Like, these people are wasted out of their minds.
Basically,
right?
Yeah. I mean, this is a small dance floor, too. Like, there were some beefy individuals.
Were you sober the whole time?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, you don't go to those sober, dude.
No. And it was kind of my downfall, but I didn't want to drink at this place, and I had drank the night before. So I mean, basically.
So you thought you were covered because you drank the night before?
Not really, but it's like I just didn't want to spend the money, and it's
well,
like.
Well, don't go sober to us.
Hey, this Lady Gaga is not going to sound any better. Well, actually, will sound better drunk. I should have drank
that. That's true.
But then I would have been. I was like really concerned because I had my contacts in, and I didn't want to like get soap in my eyes and all that stuff. So,
well, that doesn't sound like.
Well,
fun.
No, I originally had my swimming goggles with me, but I didn't put them on. I just forgot about it.
You should just wear like crazy goggles, like raver goggles or something.
I don't know if those would have worked. worked.
What do you mean they wouldn't have worked?
Did the goggles actually do something, or did they do nothing?
Well, okay. But, I mean, like...
That's a good point, though.
Yeah,
that's
like, really just to put them on so you don't look like a total tool walking around with, like, sandals and goggles on, because you look like you're going swimming at the public pool.
Yes, I was, actually. But, no, I wore the... I mean, I had my swimsuit on just because, like, you're not going to go in there with your clothes. You're going to get soaked. I had my you know, classic V-neck on.
Did you go in like a trench coat and then you just like busted out with the swimsuit?
No, I had my V-neck with my shorts and then I just...
And you can just say shorts. You don't have to say swimsuit, by the way.
No, I had my swimsuit because I had shorts over the swimsuit. Because how am I...
Wait,
my swimsuit doesn't have pockets.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just a regular pair of shorts, not the jammers, because I haven't worn jammers in months.
Yeah, I'm not going to... Yeah, okay.
I just want to clarify that. And I have the common decency not to wear a banana hammock either. But I gave it a shot, and then after I got out of there, I immediately ran, you know, sped my way home, going about 70 to 90. I kid about the 90, but just because I desperately wanted to take a shower. So I just was like...
It's got to be extra gross when you're sober, because, like, you care too much about what's going on.
Well, I mean, even if I was drunk, I was kind of like, this was a place I'd never been, and I was kind of bored, and I was just there by myself. I just was like, I want to go for it. Let me experience what I've got. I'll make a good story.
Were you like standing around taking notes?
Yes, I was actually saying to myself, this is for journalism.
You got like a notepad and you're trying to write on it?
Yeah, I'm trying to write stuff as I'm in the foam.
Yeah.
And I'm like brushing the
just
foam
standing
off.
Completely still, people just like jumping around.
Yes. Yes, I was. And but it was not a terrible experience, but it's not something I would do again. And it still was a better experience than that one time I did that underwear party, which was a heart not good.
Yeah.
We
got a story where we almost accidentally ended up at an underwear party. Remember that on Halloween?
Oh, no, we didn't do that.
No, it was an accident.
Oh, yes.
It was a pure accident, and it was horrifying.
Yes, we went to the wrong apartment,
yeah.
And it was an underwear party, and we're
and
like,
it was a,
is this so-and-so's apartment?
Let's just say it was not a all-inclusive underwear. How do you put that? It was made for...
Co-ed.
It was sort of a specific...
Certain individuals of a certain length... Of a certain weight, of a certain waist size,
but I'm just saying, let's say there was no ladies there at this underwear party, I wouldn't quite have enjoyed myself.
But
so much.
Basically, it was like walking into that one scene from The Shining where the guys with the dude in the bear outfit and they're just looking at you.
Yeah, exactly.
So
you're like, what the
hell? That's right. Actually, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. And, well, that was the most. That may have been the most uncomfortable I've ever been in my whole life.
Yeah, it was. It was certainly not like that Jimmy Eat World video.
There was no balance. It was sort of just
but
it was oddly very casual. We're just hanging out.
Would be very casual. Now, I only say that because I did that in Sydney years ago, and I had never gone. I was like, "Fuck it, I'm doing it." So it was. I was a complete deer in the headlights. Although, now it reminds me. When I was in at the foam party, when I came out, my legs were totally encased in foam, and it reminded me of a scene from Dragnet the movie, where I think Dan Aykroyd shows up with the giant goat leggings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it just reminded me of that as I'm walking around trying to shake off the foam.
I'm going to say, by the way, Dragnet, the 80s Dragnet
movie. The 1987
movie,
Dragnet.
Very underrated. Very underrated. I like that movie.
It's except for the rap at the end.
I don't care.
Every goddamn thing had to have a rap.
I still like it. I don't give a shit. Same thing, that and Ghostbusters 2. I like those movies. Again, if you don't like them, go fuck yourself.
So, yeah, I gave a shot with a foam party and... Like I said, it wasn't bad, but it was like, I'm not...
Sounds like next time you should try to go have fun there.
Well, what I think it is just that, that's true.
Yeah, include some fun into the party.
Yeah, it's tough when you go out by yourself. I mean, really, because, like, you gotta have the whole thing of not thinking, which helps improve it, but at the same time, it's like, you just...
You gotta turn down the neuroses.
It's a total crapshoot. It's a really total crapshoot. I mean, it wasn't bad, you know, everyone was nice. There wasn't any weird shenanigans going on, and it was just a different place.
Uh-huh.
Different environment. Music was actually a little bit interesting just because they were playing different remixes, which was nice. So, you know, but everyone lost their shit when they played the Don't Stop Believing version of Glee or something like that.
The Glee version of Don't Stop Believing?
Yeah. And then, like, when I was at this other club, they, everyone lost their shit because they played videos of the songs they're playing.
Yeah.
So that Bad Romance, they actually played the Glee version of Bad Romance. So I was like, everyone's losing their shit, and I'm drunk. So I'm like,
that's the big thing on the show is that they do their own, you know, covers and stuff. So
yeah,
you can get the albums and everything.
Yeah, I never watched the show to be honest, but I'm not bothered by it.
I watched a couple with Marissa. It's not like the worst show ever, but I'm not a fan.
It's a fine show. I think no one gives a shit about the story, but at least this man. But really, I mean, you could do a lot worse. And to me, it's like, you know, if it seems. Would I call it wholesome television? I got no idea. But
I
you can do a lot worse.
It's progressive television.
There you go.
But real quick, before we get too far off track here, let's get back to the important business. Jonah Hex tanked.
Oh, man.
Jonah Hex.
We haven't seen a cinematic abortion like this since Wild West. Geely.
Geely? Yeah. Yeah, it is
and
Geely.
And I saw Wild Wild West in the damn theater.
Yeah.
I don't know what
this
I
movie looks like such horse shit, and it's obvious
it's
when you watch the trailer.
It's long, this movie.
It's ridiculous nonsense. And I'm not saying this just as a geek, because I do like the character Jonah Hex, but I'm not like a purist because I never really read the books or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it just looked like such horseshit. And for God's sake, Megan Fox, and you know what, John Malkovich, come on, at this point you can't, he's like Robert De Niro now. He shows up and it's not a mark of quality anymore. You're mm-hmm. just like, you kind of want to stay away from it because he's just hamming
well,
it up.
Well, you knew this movie was going to be garbage because it had a blurb by Jeff Craig of 60 Second Preview. If your movie has the only thing, has a Jeff Craig.
Who is Jeff Craig?
No one knows who Jeff Craig is. I don't even think, the guy's been around for at least as long as I can remember. His name's always attached to shitty movies.
Jesus.
I've never seen him do a review, and it's like not surprising. And I was like, when Jonah Hex was like being done, I was like, oh shit, and it's got Josh Brolin, who's always good.
What the hell happened? Yeah, how the hell did this go wrong?
I don't know.
But you know what? Modern Hollywood, they don't have a lot of people that know how to do Westerns anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really understand the genre, and they don't know what to do with this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's got to be all contemporary. There's got to be all this anachronistic bullshit in there of like, oh, there's all this futuristic crap and
there's a lot of steampunk
past.
Going on.
It's like pseudo steampunk stuff, yeah, and it's ridiculous, and they just can't make a cool Western movie. Now, granted, there have been Westerns in the past 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Made
small
like
pictures,
310 to Yuma and all that stuff like that,
yeah.
that have, you know, I did not see the remake of that, but
yeah.
I'm just saying, like, it looked relatively decent compared to this. I'm sure
would
it's
you
not
consider like No Country for Old Men to be kind of like a Western or
oh yeah they've done definitely like sort of the modern Western.
Yeah,
there have been takeoffs of that, and right. they definitely follow the genre better than these other movies, but they try to turn them, you know, it's just one of those movies where they get a hold of a name, like a comic book character, they get the name, they try to milk it for all it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, okay, well, we've got a gimmick, you know, he's got a scarred face, let's just, and now the rest of the movie is going to be, let's throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. So it's
right.
every possible idea that you could put in a movie shoehorned into this, you know, I heard it's like, what, 74 minutes?
It's 80 minutes.
Yeah.
It's at the minute, I just was talking about this on the other podcast I do, Movie Moan, over on IESB.net. And they talked about that is the bare minimum for movie distributors. A movie must be at least 80 minutes long, in order. Otherwise, it is not considered to be a movie.
Christ. And then they gave him superpowers in the movie,
credits.
Which was weird.
Yeah, apparently he can, like, you know, be able to, like,
he can talk to the dead.
Talk to the dead, like, basically do something like Pushing Daisies, or, like, grab an item and, like, sense its memory or some nonsense like that.
Some bullshit like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it looks awful, and I was really disappointed with the makeup effects, because I thought that's where they put should have put the money into, because Hex has always been known for like, you know, he showed up on an episode of the old Batman cartoon.
Yeah, and that was a fantastic
and it was
episode.
Great, yeah, and his face is his big thing, is like
yeah.
he's all scarred, we don't know how he got messed up. I just derailed there. Wasn't
I know the one thing about that Batman the Animated Series episode, I always want to know if that eye that was like way bigger than the other was actually his real eye, or it was like a giant glass eye.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Waterworld.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. They didn't put any money into the effect on his face, so it's
yeah.
like he's clearly got this plastic thing in his mouth, so when he's talking, he sounds all weird, like he's got something jammed in the side of his cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And then his makeup is applied over that and everything, and so it seemed a little cheap. It seemed like they kind of copped out on the makeup, whereas they could have gone more like Two-Face with it.
No kidding.
Or something like, you know, even the makeup in, what was the face damage makeup they did on Let the Right One In? Remember that?
Yes.
With the guy who had the acid on his face?
Yes.
That looked horrifying.
That was amazing. You're right.
Yeah.
That was amazing makeup.
And this seemed really weak.
The thing is, if someone had that kind of like bad facial, well, maybe you just have to have suspense.
I'm not saying like you got to go slightly realistic, like, you know, obviously he's got to be able to blink his eye and shit.
Yeah, and he's also, they can't run around with a big face wound like that.
No, I don't mean like open bleeding face wound.
Yeah.
I just meant like a cool scarring, because in this one it looked really basic, like kind of like, you know, no offense to the effects artists that worked on it, they probably are really, you know, they could be good at their jobs, but
yeah.
it looked pretty rudimentary. It looked pretty basic.
Mm-hmm.
Like just like kind of like something you could pick up at Oz or one of these
Party City
stores and apply yourself.
Yes.
And so it didn't look like anything that was either very realistic or just couldn't be done, you know, by anyone else outside the industry. So it didn't look like they put a lot of money into it. But aside from that and everything, aside from nitpicking and everything, it just looks like a piece of shit. So
yeah,
eat that, Jonah Hex.
Yeah, no,
they
agree.
Made like 1/18 of its budget or something.
No, it hasn't made any money, actually.
It made like $5 million.
You're fucking kidding.
No.
Unbelievable.
I'm sure it costs like $80 million or
so. Yeah, of course. Of course.
At the least.
But I know the only other thing comic movie-wise, this was a thing they had a few weeks ago. It was another Facebook thing going on, is that they wanted Donald Glover to be Spider-Man. So, and we had seen Donald Glover actually when we had saw the screening of Mystery Teen.
Yeah, he's the star of Mystery Teen, and he's also in he's Troy
On Community.
Yeah,
and he shows up in occasionally on 30 Rock, and I even saw that great Conan O'Brien skit where he's with the former Secretary of Labor Rob Reich and their cops, and he's in that too. As a thug.
Nice. Yeah, he's really funny.
Yeah, he really is. So there was now obviously he's not going to be Spider-Man because they want to have a teenage Spider-Man. I had said when I had heard about this, I said, why not? Also, he would have been the right age if they didn't want to have Spider-Man in the high school.
Yeah.
Because he's exactly my age, just about.
Yep.
And I would think, you know, he would have been fine. I mean, just, it would be, you know, is it different to have a black Spider-Man? Yeah. But
it doesn't really change much about the character. Anything. Yeah. I mean, I know it's controversial because if they tried to do something like that right now, especially, there seems to be this, like, xenophobia in films, especially mainstream films, and that's going on also with Airbender right now.
Yeah.
Where I know you're not probably never seen the show.
I've heard of it, but I've never watched
a couple episodes recently. I started on it because Marissa starting to watch it, so she recommended it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun show. It's very cool. I've only seen the first two episodes, but it's an interesting show. And the lead character's a monk. His pursuers are sort of Asian descent, but it's kind of ambiguous at this point. And mm-hmm. I could be wrong because I haven't seen the entire series, so I don't know if they explain this later.
Right.
But they're clearly some type of Asian characters, and like Chinese or Japanese specifically.
Yeah.
And the other kids that are in it are like these Eskimo kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the movie, you just go across pretty much all these characters are white.
Well,
I thought that was really strange because, like,
the only argument I could make for that is just the fact maybe they couldn't find enough Eskimo actors.
Don't tell me. Okay, but here's the thing. First when they do different ethnicities in movies, they're never really accurate with it. But these kids are white, man. They're like, they grew up in a suburb in right down the street from us here in Sherman Oaks. They clearly are from a suburb. They're not living in the South Pole. They are not living in the South Pole. It's bullshit. And I'm just saying, like, you know, hopefully the movie's good despite this, but these kids are the whitest kids you'll ever see in your life. And they're supposed to be playing these kids that live, you know, in this kind of Eskimo village and stuff, and it's ridiculous. And then the lead kid being white and playing a monk character, that's not the most insane thing I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
But then what was kind of weird was that the Fire Clan, or what is it? I forgot what it's called. The villains are like the Fire Nation. They're the guy who's sort of this Asian character is now an Indian character, and in the show, I guess if the nationalities are ambiguous or the nation's origin is kind of ambiguous, it'll work. But it's just weird because they swap nationalities so much and then default on white kids so much. And do not tell me there are no dark skinned actors, especially in Los Angeles, who would be able to do these parts. It's ridiculous. It's stupid.
Well, I mean, this is M. Night Shyamalan for one thing. So.
Well, yeah. I hope he redeems himself with this movie.
I highly doubt that's
going to happen. I'm still looking forward to it.
Statistically,
he cannot make a movie worse than Lady in the Water or The Happening.
Bullshit. And he's gonna
it can't.
Himself,
he can't
he's going to shoehorn himself into this
he
movie.
He can't get worse than that. It's not possible.
I think anything is possible.
No.
I think it's possible.
I don't think so.
But
there's got
to
be.
I remember there was a little bit of weird discomfort. You know, I go back to like friggin' Daredevil when they cast Michael Clark Duncan.
You son of a bitch!
I know. I had
bringing
to go
up
there.
Goddamn Daredevil,
and they were like, "It's a black guy playing the Kingpin."
That made no difference.
Yeah, it made no difference, and also because they couldn't find
white
guy they could find of that size.
Well, what do you mean, what white guy? There's tons of huge ass white dudes. Like they like look the
you
guy
John Goodman,
the guy in the guy playing what's his name, and is a UFC fighter in the A-Team, Mr.
Yeah.
T?
Yeah.
He's a UFC fighter. There's tons of UFC fighters and guys that are huge.
Well,
they're white
UFC
guys, but they're gigantic.
Yeah, it wasn't big, I think, in 2002. I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
That was 2003, and UFC's like, been around for a long time.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is, like, you could have found a white guy, but it doesn't matter if he's white or not.
Yeah.
Because Kingpin's most distinguishing factor is that he's a criminal, and he's bald, and he's gigantic.
Yes.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what skin color he is.
Good point.
It's stupid. That's just stupid shit. It's like Daredevil could be black. It doesn't matter. He's just a
although
dude.
The funny thing is, when people ask, what about, like, if, you know, because I was thinking about this, and they had, and I was like, what if, like, well, Batman was black? And it's like, isn't that the Black Panther?
Or they did that in Supreme Power. They made Nighthawk, who was a black guy who was just happened to be pretty much exactly like Batman.
Not only that,
except way cooler.
Yeah, not only that, when Stan Lee they wheeled out Stan Lee to do this series for DC, and he did his own interpretations. Batman was played by a black guy.
Right,
so,
it doesn't matter because you can switch this stuff around. It doesn't make much of a difference.
You know what? Honestly, that some of that stuff can be very interesting and very ingenious, just the way they do certain things.
But I love the Kingpin one. It's so funny because that character is not distinctively white. There's nothing like white about him.
He just happens to be white.
He just is a white guy. But it's not like, I mean, you could make him anything. I mean, he could have been pretty much, I don't know, whatever. It's just it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal. Like, I don't know.
No, that's a very good point, actually.
Same thing with all those characters in that movie. Any one of them could have been whatever. But see, they did the same thing in that movie too, because Elektra is supposed to be Greek.
Yeah.
And she's just Jennifer Garner. She's just some white chick.
Yeah.
So it just was ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know Daredevil's supposed to be a goddamn ginger. And yet he turned out to be Ben Affleck with really shitty red anime hair.
What are you saying, that only a ginger could pull off Matt Murdock?
No, I'm saying in the movie in the comic he's a redheaded guy.
Yeah, but ginger means he has not only red hair but freckles.
Yeah, I thought that was a given.
Well, Foggy Nelson may have been ginger.
I don't know, whatever. But anyway, the point is that movie blew.
But yeah, this has been a terrible, terrible summer. I mean.
Oh, you know, we got stuff to look forward to, though. The Smurfs movie is coming out.
Sweet God.
Yeah!
And I used to watch that as a very small, as a young couple.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though? There's two things about this. One, there's people
Hank
bitching.
Azaria's playing Gargamel.
There's people bitching about Smurfs that said it could have been good if they'd done it right.
And bullshit.
I'm just like, what the? And it's funny because Smurfs goes way back. It was created in like the 50s, mm-hmm. and it was a comic strip. And I think it might have been French or Belgian or something. Yeah. And, it's just an old comic strip, and I don't know what the mythology is behind it back, because I think the comic strip was a lot different than the cartoon. Because mm-hmm. Hanna-Barbera, you know, when they get a hold of shit, we've seen Super Friends, we know what they do with this stuff. So they kind of take their own spin on it and make it kind of just a kid show. I don't know much about the old comic strip. I don't know. I'm really, really not sure. I'm very skeptical about how good this could have been.
I don't think anyone's going to call
it
out.
Like, if Peter Jackson
on the Smurf comic.
If Peter Jackson had directed Smurfs, I don't know that would have made it any better. Actually, wait a minute, because he did Meet the Feebles, and that would be a really interesting take.
An adult Smurfs. I think the best conversation about Smurfs was that one scene in Donnie Darko, where they asked about, like, how do they, you know? They're asexual.
Yeah,
they can't, you know.
But the thing that was really funny was the trailer was the well, it's for kids, so they do all the stupid shit. They play Tone Loc in the trailer, which was insane.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I guess little kids love Tone Loc.
I feel bad. I mean, honestly, you know, as kids, when we were kids, you know, we would watch really stupid shit. But I always feel like, you know, you should not pander to kids. You know, you should have quality. I mean,
always been happening, though. There's always a select few studios that make kids movies, but they're
Pixar.
Done by really awesome directors who they're family. They're kind of all ages. Mm-hmm. Then there's little kid stuff that's just retarded.
Yeah. Then there is just little.
But I will say this real quick in regard to the Smurf thing. As long as it's not the Snorks, the goddamn Snorks. As long as it's not the fucking Snorks. It's fine with me.
Why are the Snorks? I don't. I got nothing.
Do you remember them?
Do they have like, they had a straw on top of their head?
Yeah, they're like the Smurfs. They were like the Smurfs underwater.
Yeah, the 80s would knock
off
everything.
It was awful.
Off.
It was stupid. They had a stupid song. I hated that cartoon.
This must have been on Channel 13 or something. I don't remember.
The Snorks.
I don't remember
as
this.
As long as it ain't the Snorks.
But yeah, speaking
because
of
Because fuck them.
Yeah, going back to comics here. You know, I know the international trailer for Scott Pilgrim came out. I'm still sold. You know, other people disagree, but I think Michael Cera is looking fine in this. Is he playing a different approach than the Scott Pilgrim in the book? Yeah, but to me, you know, it's fine. I don't see anything wrong with it. So, to me, the trailer looks great, and we'll see how it goes.
It's the first time I've seen an Edgar Wright trailer that didn't quite appeal to me. But I like Edgar Wright, and I like most of the cast that's in it, and I'll give it a chance anyway. I'm not the biggest Scott Pilgrim fan, so I don't really know, but. You know, we'll see. I just hope it's not like, you know, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist with some fight scenes.
Yeah, that's the thing I think a lot of people are wondering about. And
it really looks like
a
tween thing.
It's got more energy. It's got a ton of energy.
Well, it's got more Street Fighter,
you know, things actually you want to care about, and lots of this.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. A lot of fighting references, and
the costumes and the designs and the special effects look amazing, though. I mean, yeah. The production quality is like very good.
I think it could be the best movie about Canada that we've ever seen.
Does it take place?
Strange Brew
takes place in Canada.
The book is set in Toronto.
Oh shit! I didn't even realize.
Yeah, it has like local Toronto sites and whatnot. So it's probably gonna be the greatest movie about Canada since Strange Brew.
Yeah. Well, it won't be as bad as Jonah Hex. So
that's like very true, actually. And speaking of Edgar Wright, I actually rewatched Hot Fuzz. Still great.
Amazing.
Still love it.
Awesome.
I know there was some debate about which one is better, Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz. Both are equally great.
I think for my money, I would go with Hot Fuzz only because the pacing and the comedy is more consistent. Mm-hmm. And in Shaun of the Dead is a great movie.
Shaun of the Dead is great.
If Shaun of the Dead was a 9, Hot Fuzz to me was like a 27, like on a scale from 1 to 10.
Well, yeah, I can see what you're saying, because Hot Fuzz was completely a comedy. Shaun of the Dead did have those dramatic...
It switched, and it was, again, going back to that Romero kind of thing, where it was it wasn't genre-specific with this kind of thing. They played around with drama, comedy, and stuff like that. And the drama's great in it, and it's really... Yeah. It's really good and everything, and pseudo drama, not like
right,
not Schindler's List here, but something. It's very similar. A different tone than the comedy, but I really dug Hot Fuzz because it was just a great straight up comedy. I thought they did an amazing job.
It was amazing. I really, and also because it plays into my cop obsession, so it's just to see that. I have to say I'm a Hot Fuzz man myself, and Timothy Dalton working there, and a slasher of prices, and oh man, such greatness.
Awesome.
Yes. But I know you had some, speaking of other stuff going on with movies, I think you had some ideas for...
No, I'm done. Let's end this. We're done. Wrapping it up.
No, you're not. We're not done here.
Show's over.
Nope.
No, so what were you saying?
You told me about, had an idea for some more remakes to, because as I said, the summer's been god-awful so far.
Oh, no, I was saying we can definitely expect... more remakes coming our way after A-Team and Karate Kid and Smurfs and all that stuff. Because Smurfs seems to be with Smurfs, and then Scooby-Doo obviously started at the beginning of the decade and everything. And I think we can expect more television properties becoming movies.
It'll be like a return of the 90s.
Kind of, yeah. Okay. And then what I was expecting was also late 80s too. And, and I was thinking eventually we're going to have to see a Perfect Strangers movie.
Okay.
And I don't know who's going to be in it. I guess Steve Carell is probably going to be jammed in there somewhere, probably his cousin
Larry. I'm going to say Balky.
As Balky.
Yeah.
Interesting.
As the wacky foreigner.
But wait, okay, here's my cast for Perfect Strangers.
Okay.
What the hell was this? Steve Carell, sorry.
Steve Carell.
That name
Balky.
Just slipped my mind all of a sudden. Steve Carell as Larry. And John Turturro as Balky.
Oh my god.
Bartakamus.
I was thinking a remake of Mr. Belvedere with Ian McShane as Mr. Belvedere.
Yes.
Ian McShane as Al Swearengen as Mr. Belvedere.
I would also go with Liam Neeson as Mr. Belvedere.
Liam Neeson.
And it's an action movie where Mr. Belvedere has to rescue the
family.
With
James Caan in the Bob Uecker role.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
There you go. Liam Neeson as Mr. Belvedere.
He's
going to really... take his revenge out on Wesley.
Absolutely. And then Family Matters.
Okay.
And then that's where what's his name comes in? Troy. What is the guy's name?
Don Glover.
Steve Urkel.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Actually, they should switch roles, and he's the Carl Winslow. A very young. It's a prequel. Yes. It's a prequel. And here's the thing. What era of Family Matters do you want to set in? You want to set in the era when it was actually an actual sitcom, or when it got really weird towards the end?
I don't even care, man. If it was a franchise, I'd love for them to do a trilogy, and the last one is a total sci-fi epic. Just like they go
That's
to space
it,
and
went
shit.
Towards the end, actually.
It'd be like the Chronicles of Riddick, or it just became this weird-ass sci-fi thing.
Yeah. I like the idea of Donald Glover as the young Carl Winslow.
Oh, yeah. It's total prequel. It's and then we get, baby Urkel.
Yeah. He's got to go back to stop Urkel.
Yeah.
Or Reginald Bell Johnson. There's some meta jokes in there. He watches Die Hard. sort of be like a better version then of that Kevin Smith joke in Cop Out.
Yes.
And then, some laughs are had. But what about, God, I don't know.
House would be another one,
Full
too.
Full House? And, who do you have in mind for that?
I only one I got right now is Gerard Butler as Uncle Jesse.
Okay.
But I'm just throwing that out there.
What about Dane Cook for Dave Coulier? I know I just...
He'd have to because he's supposed to be the annoying comedian.
Yes.
So, yeah, he'd be great in there.
Yeah.
It'd be the movie no one wanted to see.
Yes.
And then who would play Tanner, the main?
Oh, Christ, you're going to need a straight man. Jason Bateman. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, might as well.
Or...
They're all supposed to be related. They look nothing alike.
Yeah, no. Or you know, Will Arnett as Danny Tanner. As Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier. Oh, as what's his name?
Shit, I forgot his name.
Fuck. Cool. Uncle Jesse.
No, not Uncle Jesse.
No. What the hell was his name?
Shit.
God.
I don't know, man.
Okay, let's just admit that we've made a
We
huge...
don't know the name of the Dave Coulier character in fucking Full House. Goddamn.
If anyone remembers, please post this. Joey Gladstone.
Joey. Okay.
Joey Gladstone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, so yeah, I think... Well, you can have Will Arnett... But see, then that would try to make it good if you have Will Arnett as Joey Gladstone.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We'll see.
You could have Will Arnett, Gerard Butler, and then Jason Bateman as Danny Tanner.
Yeah,
I think that could work.
Just do it.
Why not?
It doesn't matter.
Why not? And then you also could do. What about Alf? You got any ideas for that?
Oh, the Alf movie. Yeah, who would play the? What's his name? The actor who played the lead. He was like that weird guy.
Willie.
Yeah.
Yeah. He shows up. You know what he shows up in? And I only mention this because it's coming out on DVD. The old show on PBS, Ghost Rider.
Oh,
he shows up in the pilot's mystery as the and spoiler alert for Ghost Rider because I gotta make sure to announce the spoiler alert.
Now we're talking Ghost Rider, the old TV show.
WRITER.
I think we've made this observation before. There was confusion about these titles, but it's not Ghost Rider. The Spirit of Vengeance. Yeah.
For Ghost Rider. He shows up as a video store clerk that commits arson on himself because he's illegally recording videotapes.
Oh.
So,
fantastic.
I don't know who could play that guy.
Captivating.
I don't know, Ben Kingsley, Willie Taylor.
That would be awesome.
And then I don't know, and then the obnoxious neighbor. Shit. I don't know. He had a really foreign name, Achmonic or something like that.
I never really watched the show. I saw it as a kid a few times, but I never was a fan. So
yeah.
I don't know. Alf was weird, man. He ate cats and shit.
Well, you know what's crazy is that there's a movie called Permanent Midnight.
Ron Perlman is Alf.
There you have it.
And go ahead, sorry. Continue.
Yeah, and he's a full body Alf.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Like in Hellboy.
And it's really, it's really just Ron Perlman in like a furry suit, but his head is cut out like his face. And it's just Ron Perlman's regular face.
Yeah, there you go.
But he's in this big furry Alf suit.
Yeah. So the movie Permanent Midnight is basically about a guy by the name of Jerry Stahl, who's a writer on Alf. Yeah. They couldn't get the rights, so they had some like weird ass creature. It's pretty good because it's Ben Stiller being in a dramatic role, and he's trying to shake off a heroin addiction, and it was pretty good. It's hampered by budget, but it's like I said, they couldn't get the rights.
Yeah.
So they had this like weird ass blue creature with a British accent, and it made no sense. But
English alien. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That seems to be the default accent for the aliens.
I don't know what else. What other TV shows? Let's see. There's Charles in Charge. When I ever watched that.
Well, they could do Silver Spoons, or they could do. They could also do what was the Small Wonder with the robot
that was
maid girl?
Show.
That was weird.
Really creepy show.
That was so weird.
Yeah.
But they could do like a sequel. I mean, not a sequel, but just an extended version of that. Where
oh my god.
She's still like still young, but it's a new family.
Do you remember the episode of that where they showed her face without the skin? It was just the machine talking.
I don't think so.
There was some weird stop motion thing. Freaked me the hell out. Oh god.
It's like Twilight Zone.
Yeah. It was
Jesus
very,
Christ.
Very, very disturbing. But yeah, I can't. God, I can't.
I don't know what other TV shows, but there are going to be. It doesn't matter because there's
just
so many.
Just do a whole series from the TGIF lineup.
There's. We could do step by step, but that's not very interesting. I don't think. But there's a slew of new crappy TV shows coming out anyway, and just to get into a new topic here.
Yeah.
But there's also some really good ones coming out too on AMC. They're doing The Walking Dead, which is the Rob Kirkman zombie comic book series.
I've seen the pictures,
and it looks amazing. It looks so cool.
Six episode series.
Yeah, they're just trying it out with six episodes, and then hopefully it'll turn it into a series if it's any good. And then Frank Darabont, who may be one of the best directors of all time, despite The Mist. I didn't like The Mist. That's just me though. I know a lot of people liked it anyway, but I didn't buy that. I am a fan of Darabont, and obviously Shawshank Redemption is arguably one of the, if not the best movie of all time. Mm-hmm. Very good movie. And he's producing it, and I think writing some episodes too, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
He's doing a lot of stuff on there, and then Kirkman's kind of producing it, or executive producing it or something.
Right.
And overseeing production in some way, and it looks great, and AMC has a pretty good track record with their original shows, so hopefully it does well, and it's a great show. Mm-hmm. That's it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't speak of anything else TV-wise. I'm just looking forward.
Well, there's on the Sci-Fi Channel, which is now the SYFY Sci-Fi Channel. They're doing a revival of the character that really only like 10 people remember and like is the Phantom.
Now, it's funny you mentioned the Phantom, because we talked about this off air, because you talked about like they were trying to make it real for the, or set like in this time period.
Yeah,
they
actually, a contemporary Phantom
long
character.
Time ago, mid-90s, they had Phantom 2040.
Yeah, it was an awesome show, man.
Man, it was a weird show.
Phantom 2040 was it was designed, it was done by a really great production group, and it was, all the designs were done by Peter Chung, who did Aeon Flux.
Really?
And
it did not, I mean, I know what Peter Chung's stuff looks like. It did not look that overly stylized.
It actually did, if you go back and check it out again. I mean, it wasn't done by the same animation studios. It was done by inferior
animators. I still remember everyone's legs being that long.
Oh, trust me, when you see it, it's very elongated stuff. That's part of the way they break it down in production is to draw them that way and force perspective and stuff too. But anyway, so it was a great show. It was kind of one of those post Batman the Animated Series shows where they tried to do like a very saga. It was real. It was almost Japanese in a way, because it was a long saga.
Yeah.
No, there
were never ended.
There were standalone episodes, but it really played into a longer story arc. Yeah. And they brought in some cool old stuff and some new stuff and played around with it. And it was, I like the show. It's great. And it, because it was set in this kind of fictional future world, it helped, because the character doesn't make a lot of sense anymore by today's standards.
What did the character ever do that isn't any different than the Shadow?
What do you mean?
Well, what does he do exactly?
He's a guy who has a lineage of crime fighters from back in like the 14.
And he wears a purple
1600s.
Suit.
They always wear these purple uniforms, and they have weapons of all different types, and they have the skull rings, and sometimes the character has sort of magic connotations, and sometimes he doesn't. He's a badass, and I mean, in the comic book he was a badass, but he was also kind of one of those characters that doesn't make any sense but is still cool, but when you try to make him any more than like a one-dimensional cartoon, it becomes really awkward, because there's not a great deal of logic to it, so as a movie it really makes very little sense. But they did Phantom 2040, which was cool. Then they did, and this character's existed, this is the very first costume superhero ever. He's from like 1934.
Oh really?
He's predates Batman and all these characters.
Oh, okay.
And was actually a template for these characters.
Right.
But because originally he was supposed to be like this rich playboy who at night became this crime fighter and stuff, and then that.
So this predated the Shadow. I did not know that.
Predated. Well, I don't know, because the Shadow was going on in the early 30s too, but I don't remember what.
But I think that was a radio
dates.
Play.
Was, no, it was a pulp. All the old pulps with like Doc Savage and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But those were like the 20s, I think.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember the timeline off the top of my head.
Yeah, this is hazy stuff.
But anyway, so this character really predates a lot of. He's a first tights wearing, you know, costumed Greek mythology looking figure with that kind of musculature and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, by today's standards, doesn't make any sense. And then when they did the movie in the 90s, which was a great send-up of old kind of action serials from like the Republic serials, it was a great kind of send-up of that, with like the modern sensibilities transferred back to that old style.
Right.
And like really, really derivative of Indiana Jones. But it's not by any means a great movie that you'd recommend.
Do you think
to anyone.
That they should have, because Bruce Campbell tried out for the Phantom, that they should have had him instead of Billy Zane?
He would be awesome, but the way he's so like tongue in cheek with his stuff, I don't know if that would really help or make things worse. But the idea, anyway, so that this character doesn't really make sense in live action no matter what, because there's just too many things that don't add up about him.
Right.
And so I'm not going to go down the checklist of stuff, but just trust me, it just doesn't really work that well. And so now they're doing a sci-fi pilot that's sort of a movie thing that I hope doesn't become a series, but it probably will. And it's like a modern, you know, it's this total teenage character thing. He's got BMX gear on, looking crap, and, you know, they're trying to do like the whole Batman.
Oh god, he's gone extreme.
They're trying to do the Batman Begins thing, where he has this like sophisticated suit and all this business, and it's like, I love that they kept the evil pseudo Lex Luthor villain in there, though. He's just some random businessman who is super evil for no reason.
Oh,
and
it sounds
stuff.
Like kind of like Witchblade, then. Witchblade had the same thing.
It's the same shit, yeah. It's all these bad TV shows that do this comic property stuff, and they've tried to legitimize this character, and it just doesn't work.
Did Witchblade ever even make any... was it ever good? I don't even...
I never watched it.
Well, not the show, because I know the show has got to be garbage.
I never watched it or read the comic.
Yeah,
it was exploitation stuff, so
but
I...
God, that... I don't even know
it seemed pretty flat. It was pretty flat stuff. But anyway, so the Phantom thing is coming out. It looks awful. You can see the trailer on YouTube, or go to Topless Robot, the blog or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it looks terrible, and they got this really questionable talent everywhere all over the project. And,
right.
That looks pretty bad, man. Pretty terrible.
Unbelievable. That's not shocking.
And that's shocking because the Sci-Fi Channel is really...
Oh, it's a real mark of quality?
Exactly. Exactly. You'd expect more from these people.
Unbelievable.
Putting out Sharktopus and all
yeah.
that stuff.
Oh, Sharktopus,
but,
yes.
And then the last thing, too, on TV is they're supposed to be developing another obscure comic book character in a TV show called the Blue Beetle, who
oh, yeah.
also goes back to, like, what, the 40s?
Yeah.
He's had, like, 50 different versions of this character.
I just know the Blue Beetle is, like, one of those characters, like, some people just constantly harp on, like Booster Gold. I don't
yeah.
know what Booster Gold
well,
does.
Well, Booster Gold came out in the 80s. He was just a... I don't even want to get into that, but he's an 80s character. And then Blue Beetle's had this long history
yeah.
of different publishers.
I remember the most
stuff.
Recent version, which is... it was a piece of alien technology that some dude in Texas found, and it became a hero.
Yeah, that's it. And it's like, I don't know why they would want to turn this into a show. I guess it's...
I saw the suit online.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
it does not look good CGI.
I don't get why we didn't...
What does it do?
We get this show. If they're going to produce this show, we get this show, but we don't get like a Showtime or HBO Punisher show, which would be fucking awesome.
Yes. Yes. And, oh man,
that, yeah.
that's a very
just think about
or,
that for a second.
Or what really should happen? HBO Preacher, that would be the best.
No, they don't need to make that. That's such a great graphic novel. They don't need to make that.
You don't think? They don't
no,
think
Punisher could use a great adaptation as a live action series because that character's been just trampled in cinema, and it'd be great to see them do something with that because Garth Ennis's run was fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe they could pull something off HBO. It'd be really graphic though. So
yeah, it'd be awesome.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, so that's.
But yeah, so that's been going on for all that fine stuff. But anyway, we're gonna go into our little segment here known as Ed Hawkins Question Time, where we have members of the Braindead Radio forums leave us a couple of you know throw out some questions and we try to answer them here on the Ed Hawkins Show. We have a couple of questions here. The first one coming from our own lead man Rob Hughes
over from the other show.
Yes, the other show on this fine network. And Rob asks, if you could remake one film, what would it be and why? So do you have any ideas?
I do.
Okay.
Do you want me to go first?
Yes, please. By all means.
I'll tell you why. I mean, I'll tell you what.
I'll
tell you what, and then I'll tell you why. You ready for this?
Yeah.
No, you're not ready. You ready for this, audience? No,
yeah.
you're not. No, you're not. Silverhawks.
Okay, what the hell is Silverhawks?
Oh, you don't know Silverhawks?
What is it?
Silverhawks was a, like, third-tier popularity cartoon from the 80s that was kind of like... It was kind of like... I want to say, like, Thundercats, not, like, in the same stories or anything, but just in the same, like, you know, toy line kind of based... cartoon.
Okay.
And it was these cyborg police officer people who had these like weird bionic hawk costume things, like body armor.
Wow.
And they could fly through space and they wave their hands over their face. They wave their hand down over their face and this like hawk mask comes on.
Shit, I may have seen this.
And they fly around and they have one of them that is named Grasshopper, who plays the guitar, and they have a boss too. He's like a chief, and he
yeah.
like wears the suit and everything, and he's
yeah.
got like a shirt and tie with suspenders, but he's got a cyborg head. And
it sounds like a reverse of Cops.
Now, yeah, it was kind of like a weird ass version of
Cops. Was pretty weird ass.
Yeah, you're talking about the cartoon Cops,
yeah.
right? Yeah,
not the TV
cyborg
show.
The cyborg police officer
yeah.
people. Yeah, and then it was like that. But they flew around space and they fought monsters with really obvious villain names, like Monstar was
yeah.
their main villain, and like you know. I'm sure Deathor and Kill Ray or whatever were all the names of the other guys. I don't remember what they were. But they had really cool... And then they had, like, Copper Kid, who was this weird kid Silverhawk, but I think he was an alien, too. I'm not sure what his deal is. Or he's a robot. I forgot. It's been years
yeah.
since I've seen this. But anyway, the toys were really cool as a kid. And the show, if you just watch the intro of the show, if you go on YouTube and just type in Silverhawks intro, you can watch the intro of the show. It's really badass, and it's cheesy as hell.
Yeah.
But it'd be a lot of fun as a movie, I think. And I'm not saying it would be great, but it would be fucking great.
That is a hell of a thing.
And
really?
Why? Because it's rad.
There you go. Oh, that's...
But anyway, so Silverhawks.
Well, that selection blows mine out completely out of the water, because I gave some thought about this, and in terms of a remake of something I'd like to see, I want to see a new Fletch movie, because it's never been able to be... get off the ground. We
yep.
could always use another Fletch movie. Fletch, I love the original Fletch. Chevy Chase was great. It's probably his best film, but, you know, and there had always been talk of doing Fletch with Jason Lee, and they never could get it off the ground. Now Jason Lee's kind of too fat, and there's just so many great, there are all these great books, you know, involving the character.
Yeah.
It's like this is a project that's begging to be done, and they just never can get it off the ground. Shit. I mean, you could even envision, like, Seth Rogen as Fletch, even though unfortunately I'd be just be Seth Rogen. Yeah. But still, that would have been better than... I remember once there was talk about having Fletch with Joshua Jackson from Dawson's
no.
Creek.
No.
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 So, we need, you know, I don't want Jonah Hill as Fletch, but I want Fletch back in action. And these movies would not be expensive at all. These would be great, good comedies. Just him doing his thing and being a smartass and just getting out there. Because, I mean, I watched Fletch Lives, and that was not that good. I mean, it wasn't garbage, but it was not that good. There's just all these great stories, and you can do... I mean, hell, you can make a TV show out of it.
Yeah.
And just have, you know, you just really have not had that. And it would be really interesting because, like, you know, there's... I guess a little tie-in would be there's no newspapers anymore. You just set, or you set it in a time where, you know, maybe in the past, where he's working and doing his thing. I don't know. To me, like I said, I love Fletch, and I would love to see him come back. Because I spent, like, time trying to think of other stuff, and really there are movies that I really like, and could they use a remake, or could I see it again? Yeah, but there are others of its time, and, like, I even considered, like, one time, it's like, do I want to see a remake of Pump Up the Volume? I'm like, nah, better keep it as is. Because then it would just be, it'd be a rogue kid with a podcast talking hard.
Yeah.
So
that'd be like remaking Hackers. That wouldn't really work. That wouldn't really work now, though, because the hacker thing is not as mystifying as it was back in the 90s.
No, it wasn't. That's another thing why I didn't go down that route, because it is of its time. So it's like, to me, a remake works best if it was maybe a pretty good movie, and you could always see that. You definitely could see the character back. There's definitely stories to be told, or there was, like, somewhat of a decent idea here that just wasn't fleshed out. I mean, there are other, like, movies I thought of, like, that I liked, and maybe they could be updated and you'd have no problem.
Like what?
There was a movie from the late 70s called Blue Collar, which was Paul Schrader's first movie, and it was about these Detroit auto workers that work in... Basically, it's a drama, and it has Richard Pryor in it, and Harvey Keitel, and it's... And Yaphet Kotto, and there's this, you know, spoiler alert, there's this crazy scene in the movie where Yaphet Kotto dies, and it's a very brutal death because he gets locked into a checker cab factory. And the only reason I remember this is funny because Patton Oswalt had done a report on the movie, and he was talking about there's clearly a connection because Paul Schrader wrote Taxi Driver, and in Taxi Driver, Travis Bickle drives a checker cab, and these guys are working at a checker cab factory. Well, it's a great idea, but it's just an idea because the only reason it's set at a checker cab factory is that because Schrader was only able... That was the only place where they can get filming.
It
just so happened to be a checker cab factory. So he died. They basically... There's, like, a lot of union shenanigans going on and a lot of weird, you know, just general bad stuff going on. So they pretty much, some bad guys lock Yaphet Kotto into the painting room of the auto factory, and he dies a very slow, brutal death. It's very harrowing.
Why would you wait? Why would you want this remake?
Just because the story can be told again, basically. And because I remember talking about this on Chug, where you could recast your favorite movies, and I always thought you could do this movie again and set it in contemporary times. Although it would not be a very pleasant movie, but I always thought, like, David Gordon Green could do it because... Yeah, and especially, you know, you said it in the South.
Who's David Gordon?
David Gordon Green, he did, he's a director for, you know, Eastbound and Down. He did a movie called George Washington and Undertow. He's done a lot of comedy recently.
I have no idea.
He did Pineapple Express.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
So to me, I always thought you could bring that movie back, or... Christ, I don't know. I'm just... there was another movie I saw called The Star Chamber, which was like, yeah, this could be a remade. It's like... It was okay at best.
You know what franchise could have been awesome if they'd redone it right was Planet of the Apes. They totally fucked that one up, but that could have been cool because that movie, the original movie, holds up pretty well, but it's one of those things where it's not like they took all the cool Rod Serling, Twilight Zone, Outer Limits-ish stuff out of it and kind of just made it a flat, nothing kind of story, but the original's great, and it would be really awesome to see them. I mean, you can't really match Charlton Heston's, you know, bravado or whatever.
Yes.
But and all the great actors in there, too. There's tons of great... Roddy McDowell and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the makeup is great for the time and everything, and it's got a great story and stuff. But you know, they could, I mean, there's no, there's not a reason that couldn't be done well these days.
Yeah.
But a lot of story, modern storytellers just can't handle
it. Well, also because it was so fucked up in 2001, it's like, do we really want to see this again?
The 01 was not a great time for film.
Yeah, it was 2000, 2001, with some exceptions, were not good times. For movies, even though, I mean, yeah, there's Lord of the Rings, and then there was also X.
Oh, that's right, 2001 Lord of the Rings came out.
Yeah,
so, wait, yeah.
But the summer of 2001 was not all that great.
Yeah.
But in terms of other remakes, I mean, hell, I remember, I mean, a remake of Westworld, because there was always talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger doing Westworld, and that never got off.
But are you saying you would want a remake of Westworld?
I wouldn't mind one. That would not be a bad idea, actually.
There was a sequel to Westworld called Future World,
yeah,
wasn't there?
Yeah, and it was really bad. There was even a Westworld TV show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The only thing I know about the...
Oh, shit, that's what... Logan's Run, man.
Yeah, they're always to talk about...
They always talk about that, but that would be so awesome.
They never get that off the ground. Yeah. Bryan Singer was
talking
about doing
it for a really, really hanging on to that weird 70s vibe that they had going in that movie, because that movie, it may be cheesy as hell, but it's so surreal, man. It's so bizarre. Like, I saw it as a kid. It was just... It's burned in my brain.
Yeah, no, I saw a little bit of it, and I think I saw...
And that was before I realized they were in a shopping mall, you know? their whole future civilization existed inside of, like, you know, JCPenney or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, that was just bizarre, man.
Oh, yeah. And then the only other thing, I mean, if to deviate a little bit from the question of just, like, talking about stuff that I wish that was made, if I had the powers, that, you know, could be... I always wanted to see, because this had been talked about, because Chris Farley wanted to do it, and he died before he was able to do it, a Fatty Arbuckle movie. And it was going to be written, I think it was going to be done by David Mamet. And I really would have loved to have seen that, just because it was Chris Farley.
That would have been amazing or really boring.
I think that would have been amazing, because if... And it was just going to be about his trial. Basically, what happened was Fatty Arbuckle was this big silent movie star, because he was a big fat dude.
Yep.
And fat people are funny.
Hence Fatty.
Yes. So Fatty Arbuckle, there's this thing where he throws this party for three... It goes on for 3 days in San Francisco, this crazy-ass party. Well, and basically this woman dies, and they suspect that it was because he's just having, like, orgies going on. He's having all this sex. This woman dies, and they believe it was because she was, you know, basically, unfortunately, raped with a champagne bottle.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And it was actually proven that he hadn't done it, but the trial was fucked up. And so, basically, it destroyed his career. I don't necessarily think he was found guilty. I can't be sure on that. No, I don't think he was.
Well, he's still indirectly responsible for it.
Yeah, it was a real bad thing, and it's such a great piece of American history that has never really been talked about. And the fact that Chris Farley really wanted to do it, and just because he died...
Well, that's a weird thing to say. Like, how the hell do you even talk about that? Like, hey, do you remember that time Fatty Arbuckle threw that 3-day party and that girl got raped to death?
Well, this was in the 1920s. This
no, I know, but news. I'm saying, like, nowadays, like, how the hell do you even bring that up?
I just think it's just an interesting piece of history.
Yeah, I know, but, like, what context would you bring that
there
up?
There isn't,
like,
any. It's just the fact... I'm just saying that because it was something that you would have seen from an actor who had not done that before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
So...
It would have been like JFK, but with...
No. What it would have been is Chaplin, but it would...
No, I meant like the structure. Like, they would have directed... They could have directed it where it was like trial. The trial is going on in real...
Like Fortune.
The trial is going on in real time, and then we flash back to all the crazy shit that was going on at the...
Yes.
At the party, the 3-day party.
Yes, Laurel and Hardy were out there, you know, doing... You know, so...
Tons of crappy celebrity cameos.
Yeah, I mean... Just all that crazy shit, and it's obviously forgotten stuff. But
nobody would. The only problem with that is that, like, that's such an obscure piece of history that no one would want to really go see it.
I think it can be done if, you know, because if it's interesting, I think it may not. That's the thing. It may not make a lot of money, but I think at least it'll be known as a very good movie.
They should try to, like, fictionalize it and then change up the actors, and then they'd probably be really cool.
Maybe, but if you still set it in the 20s, I don't know if it'd be worth, you know.
No, you said it now.
Oh, well, they did that. It was called, I think, Murder One, so...
Yeah.
Well, and that wasn't a very good show, but...
Or every episode of Law & Order.
Yeah, every episode of Law & Order. Well, Law & Order SVU, so...
You're right, exactly.
Yes. But, yeah, so that was, like I said, I would choose Fletch, you choose that odd 80s cartoon.
Silver
so, that's what we're looking at in terms of remakes. Now, and the other question we have here is from one... Let me get the name here. Professor Frank Von Blumpington. Yes.
Is this somebody, by the way? I don't recognize this name. Is this?
Oh, yes. I know who this guy is.
So oh, okay, okay.
I know who he is.
I don't know if he was a regular.
I'm not going to reveal the professor's actual name just because, you know.
Is that... Are we keep them anonymous?
Well, we can if we can identify him. I mean,
okay,
because you know Rob has put himself down as Abraham Smashington. I'm just going to call him Rob.
Okay,
which is a fantastic fake name, by the way. But
I thought that last question was from a gentleman named Abraham Smashington.
No,
I didn't realize that.
No, I recognize it's clearly Rob.
I'm kidding. I didn't know who this was because I go to the forums, but I don't frequent them enough to recognize.
Yeah, the names change like anyone's business. So
okay, all right. Anyway,
the professor asks, "How is it possible that in a city full of willing dudes, you have yet to see any action?" If I get hit on
this is
by,
directed to you, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, this is directed to me, by the way. I want to make that clear. Directed to me, Ed Hawken.
Yeah.
So, how is it possible that in a city full of willing dudes, you have yet to see any action? If I get hit on by Tegaze, because he had to spell Te, T-A-E-H, in the internet way.
T-E-H, yes.
Yes.
Tegaze. Yeah.
Why are they not hitting on you, our Bears, in this season? Well, I can't answer about Bears because I'm not a Bear, as you can clearly tell. Now, the professor, I've seen pictures of the professor. He'd fit right in.
He's more of the Bear type.
Oh, yeah. So, there's that question. I can't speak for that. I just think, I mean, the main reason why this hasn't been happening is that I just don't go out enough.
Mm-hmm.
And partly is that I have a job that I have to be up really early. And I like sleep. So, yeah, I admit to being a bit lazy, but if I don't sleep enough, I'm going to probably fucking murder someone at work. So I don't want to do that. And so, yeah, I don't go out enough. And I need to do that more. And I'm trying. It's tough because I have my usual like couple of places. I go out Friday, Saturday night, and because I go out by
myself. You got to change it up, man.
I do need to change it up. And there are places to go out during the week, and it's just tough. And what I need to do is take a day off or something. I don't. So
you know what you need to do? You go. You plan to go to one of those places, and then you get a motel.
That actually costs more money than it should.
So
why would I need to get a motel?
It's just one night, man. That's what I would do if I were you.
I don't.
Sacrifice.
These are all nearby places. I don't need to stay at a motel, actually. But
well, because your commute isn't bad, though.
Oh, you mean stay at the motel? No. Because here's the thing: if I go to those places and I stay at like one, it doesn't matter if I have a motel or not. It's gonna take me 20 minutes to get back over the hill, and I'll be good to, you know, I'll be back home. That's what I'm saying.
No, but I meant for the morning. Because you gotta sleep in a little bit.
Okay.
So you stay if you're gonna stay up till 2-3 in the morning, you get a motel that's close by your work.
Come into work late.
No, dude. Ah, you're not listening. So you get if I were you, and I had to go somewhere, and I don't commute, I work from home. But if I did and I had to go out to where you go, which is quite far, I would go to and the place that you're going to is closer to where you work than it is to your place,
right.
And your commute is hell in the morning because you're commuting out over the hill here and it's pretty bad going toward whatever.
Those are very
good ideas. Wait. So if you plan ahead and it'll cost a little bit extra money, but whatever, dude, you have a good time.
Yeah.
So you go over the hill. You go to Hollywood or whatever, and you go to this place, and then beforehand or afterward, you get the motel. Then you crash there. Use it to crash there late.
Okay.
But then you can sleep in a little bit because you're so close to work. You don't have to commute for 2 hours or whatever to get to work. So you're closer by.
It's funny.
Or
you
sleep in your cubicle.
Well, I have a desk. I don't have a cubicle.
Sleep in the lobby.
I will say, at least
your
in the
car,
morning, my commute is not 2 hours. It's surprisingly quick. But that's because I have to get up here.
How much?
25 minutes.
How early do you get to work?
I have to be at work at 7:30.
No, I know, but like, how early do you get there? What time do you get there?
It depends when I leave. If I
leave 5 a.m.
No, I don't leave at 5 a.m. But if I want to,
on a daily average, what time do you get to work?
I can get to work maybe if I want.
No, what time are you there?
Usually by 7.
7.
But
so
I'm not leaving
here
at 5.
So you could buy yourself an extra half hour sleep.
That's not that much.
It's enough. It'll keep you
but
conscious.
But anyway, going back to it, so yeah, I need to go to more different places. And when you're, this is the kind of laziness thing. It's like, also, I'm trying to, you want to save a couple of bucks. Because, really, to go to some of these places, you're going to need to drink. And they're not the best places to drink. So, and then I don't know where the hell
I'm
going.
Well, you don't have to get trashed, but you can have a couple drinks and, loosen
up. I mean, that's what I do on Fridays.
You need fun.
Yeah, I know. I need fun, and I got to do more of that. I mean, hell, that's why I went to the foam party, because it was like...
No, that's not fun. You were sober the whole time.
I know, but it's like I was... I just wanted to try... I'm trying to try to have fun sober. Well,
what?
Why? I don't know.
But you're going to places that, sobriety doesn't mix with. You can't go to a foam party sober.
Well, I mean, it was at this place that I was not, like, I wasn't willing to get drunk at, and also I didn't know how long it was
going
to
be. No, I just meant, like, you're mixing it. It doesn't work.
No, I see what you're saying. I totally agree, though. I just know there are places, though, like, I'll go, but the drinks are so expensive, it's just not worth it. That's what I'm saying.
How much are we talking?
Christ, I've been to some places where a beer could be $7, $8. That's baseball stadium prices.
Yes.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
And
I paid $12 for a Cadillac, I think. That's
the most. I mean, the place where I go drinking, $5, $6. I mean, this is per beer, so yeah, it's a little bit pricey.
Yeah, but the place you go probably isn't the best place to go. It's just the place
drink?
That you go.
To drink.
If you're going to go to a place and have a good time, you got to sacrifice the money, man.
Yeah, but at least where I go, I can walk around. That's what I do. I mean,
walk around? What the hell? That's not the best place to be. Wait, so you're wandering the streets and then expecting to meet people?
Like, no.
Just walking around?
No, when I
like
go to
you're,
my
you're like place. Arthur, you just walk around with a glass of wine and
like,
just laugh, try to point at people and like, try to. What are you doing?
No, I go. When I go out to my usual place out in WeO, I go to my bar. The place I go dancing is just right down the street.
You know what, though? Let me address this, too, by the way.
Okay.
Because this is kind of like. This is pretty good. This is a pretty good situation to be in. When you go to WeHo, everything's condensed on one street. Can't you just go everywhere? Like, you could just take one night, stay up to like 4 a.m., and just wander down the street into every goddamn place and see what's going on.
Oh, check out everything, and then see what you like best.
I have
done that. I mean, the thing is, though, everything shuts down at 2. I just want to point that. But I have gone to every...
Well, you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. I've gone to those. I've done that. It's just that when you're by yourself, it's a little tough. But, I mean, you still try to get out there. I mean, hell, that's how I've met all the people I've known.
You need to get a posse.
I had a posse at one point. I need a new
posse.
Those
are old and busted. You need a new posse.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's tough because you know what it is? Getting people to have everyone with their shit together.
Form a posse.
Believe me, I'm trying. It's tough, and it's just a matter of getting together and seeing what other people are doing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a lot, like I said, it's just going to different places, and then the other thing is, you know, to have that attitude. I mean, rarely am I getting hit up.
Well, you're too up in your head, man.
It is.
You're too Woody Allen.
This is where the whole idea of not thinking comes into play. And
it's
by
just,
not thinking...
Well, it's more about leveling your you know, your head.
And that's tough when you're at work, you know. I mean, you know, the crappy job.
I just mean, like, you know, that's what drinking's for, man.
Yeah.
You got to just have a couple drinks.
This is where
you
basically...
You don't have to become an alcoholic, but Jesus Christ, to have a couple drinks, loosen up, man.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't do that.
You're overthinking everything.
Yeah, I know.
You're preparing... Like, dude, the fact that you prepared to go to a foam party... But you prepared for it. It shows.
Well, that's because I don't want my.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like that's not narcissism, but that's like the meticulous like level of like, you know, regard that's given these things. Like,
although I'm gonna say, if I didn't prepare, I wouldn't have been able to participate.
Well, then maybe you shouldn't just go to these things.
No, I want to check out the phone.
Well, I know you're going to check it out for the first time. I just meant, like, but the idea that is, like, counterintuitive to the process. Like, you go and you overthink going, and then you prepare for going, but you can't really prepare for having, like, a spontaneous good time.
Right.
You know, you just do what you're going to do.
You just show up.
Right. And you just, like,
I mean,
like,
I've, you know, done enough times where sometimes it's like, you know, sometimes I just have a good conversation at the bar. You know, I got my drinking buddies there. And, you know, and then maybe I'll have a good night out dancing. And sometimes it's just a complete bust.
Yeah.
So it's just trial and error. But I do need to go to different places, and it's tough because it's just, I mean, I'm not, I just, I think really, I mean, the main thing is just due to work, and it's just because I like sleep. So I have to, you know, that's basically what it is, and it's something I continually have to work on, and I gotta, you know, just have more fun and do different kinds of fun. You know, hell, that's probably why I'm going to end up going to the anime convention of all things.
Yeah, what the hell?
Exactly.
You know what's really funny, by the way, speaking of this, because our guy here was talking about getting hit on, and while I'm assuming being a heterosexual.
Well, he's got 4 kids now. So.
Oh, okay, there you go.
No, he's
very, allegedly.
He can't get any straighter, I got to say.
Allegedly straight. That proves nothing. So, no, as you say, he gets hit on quite a bit. I remember I've actually had this happen to me several times as well, and one time I got hit on by a really aggressive guy. And it was funny because I wasn't really reciprocating.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that's what was happening at first because I was just like, I thought the dude was like, kind of just like, I've met like lots of people who were like overly social in a way.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of aggressively social. And I thought that's what this was at first, but it kind of veered into that after a while because he just came up and was like, hey, how's it going? And he goes, hey, if you were going to meet someone and you, what did he say? He said something like, you know, if you're going to meet someone, and he just asked me for advice on
right.
meeting someone, and I was like, yeah, whatever, I don't know. I wasn't thinking much about
yeah.
it. Obviously, I don't even remember what he said, but, and I was like, oh, well, you know, whatever, and I'm playing it off, and he's like, all right, and he's like, and then he starts making conversation, it leads to, what do you do? And I was like, oh, you know, I tell him what to do, and he's like, no, what do you do for you? And I was like, what? He was like, what do you do for fun? And I was
that's incredibly off-putting.
It was weird, yeah, and I was like, oh, well, and then I kind of started picking up on what was happening. I was like, oh, my God, no, it's totally not like that. I was just, I thought you were talking to me. I didn't even know.
I can say.
So it's kind of odd. You're getting into that situation.
Well, it's also for me, it's like, if whatever, yeah, you're right. It's having the mindset. And when I'm out and about and I'm not looking to have fun, I'm just trying to be myself, it's like, you know, I can be a little bit more defensive and then, or just, you know, very,
you gotta
very.
Just relax, dude.
Yeah, and that's.
That's it. I know that's your thing.
Tough,
you're the tense man.
Yeah.
You pack it all inside.
I know. I hold on to my angst, man.
Yeah.
It keeps me on the edge where I gotta be. You
know? You're a tense fellow.
Keeps me sharp.
Yeah.
And
yeah, let go.
You know, it's something I continually have to work on. But you're right, I need a posse, and I had a posse.
You need an entourage.
Not an entourage. I want everyone on equal footing.
No, you want an entourage.
Why would I have an entourage for, you know, be a little weird just to get
dwarves.
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I enjoy, you know, being equal opportunity, but I don't need any.
Maybe you should start with I don't want to say overcompensate, but just to get started, to get yourself out there, start dressing more glam rock. Get like a little more Bowie, get a little more Lady Gaga, get some.
Well, if I was going to go as Lady Gaga, that's going to be very uncomfortable.
No, I don't mean literally. I just meant like, you know, just something.
I get what you're saying. I do.
Let's go overboard and then go Elton John. You know, get out there a little bit. Get some Star Trek
glasses. Wear a Dodger suit made out of sequins.
Yeah,
and
just and then, you know, then you let people know what playing field you're on.
Well said. Well said, and
get your name out there.
You're saying get some sparkling mini shorts, you know, like Mango from SNL.
Yeah.
These gold shorts.
But just remember,
I
mean, don't wander into different parts of Los Angeles dressed like
that. The only problem I have with this, and I don't want to make excuses, is that where the fuck do I put my keys?
I don't want to.
These are legitimate questions.
Yeah.
I go out by myself. I need to know where I put my keys and ID.
Yeah. There's got to be internet forums for that kind of thing.
If you have any ideas, please post them on the forums at braindeadradio.com.
Yes.
I'd be willing to listen to your suggestions. But perhaps the idea, you know, trying to rip off, you know, something like that may not be such a bad idea.
Oh, my God. No, I'm kidding, man. I mean, I'm not saying you should really
because
do
right now
it. Well, hey, you know what? Whatever you want to
do.
Whatever you want to do. But that wasn't a realistic suggestion.
I know.
I'm not suggesting that you do.
Also, that'd be kind of tough to have all that accessory time.
Yeah. I'd hate to be the one who convinced you to do that.
And I'm like some Adam Lambert reject out there.
Yeah. No.
Oh,
I think.
Well said, though.
Yeah.
Got them crab shoes. Oh, God. Yeah, I think with that, for the Ed Hawken Show, I'm Ed Hawken.
And this is Randall.
Keep it classy.